This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Let's change gears if we can right now, and welcome to the program my friend Dave Wasserman. He's the House Editor at the Cook Political Report. Dave, of course, is formerly of the UVA Center for Politics. Dave, you're just off the plane from Iowa, is that right?
That is correct, yep. Got in last night. And for those of you out there who have not been following the Republican race for president, the Iowa straw poll was held on Saturday, and it's a traditional major event in the run-up to the Iowa caucuses, which we think will lead off the presidential nominating calendar. We're not sure if it's going to be January or December yet. It seems like they're playing leapfrog with the calendar.
Dave, could they really move this to December? Could we actually be starting voting in December?
It's incredible, Coy. We've got 4 months until the first votes could be cast. It's entirely possible. And every time a state changes the date of their primary, it sets off a chain reaction of events. We saw South Carolina Republicans announce that they were going to move up to January 19th. And so New Hampshire, scheduled for January 22nd, is forced to move up earlier in the new year, which leads Iowa, by their statute, to move to December. So we could see this process unfold very rapidly.
That is amazing. Gosh. So remind us again, Dave Wasserman of the Cook Political Report, remind us again, what is the Iowa straw poll?
Well, it's a unique event. And I was happy to take a little reconnaissance mission out there for your show, Coy. When I got out to Iowa, obviously there's candidates just scouring the cornfields for votes. And the Iowa straw poll, I would actually sort of compare it to a scavenger hunt where each of the candidates are going around the Hawkeye State to try and round up as many supporters as possible and bring them to the city of Ames, right smack dab in the middle of Iowa, for a one-day event that's hosted by the Republican Party of Iowa. Each campaign brings buses from all over the state filled with the supporters they've signed up. They have to be Iowans if they're going to cast a vote at the machines they set up on the campus of Iowa State University. But when the candidates shepherd their supporters in there, everyone's aiming to receive the most support, even though it means nothing officially. It's a test of early strength, and it's a great dry run for the candidates to be able to marshal their supporters.
We're talking with Dave Wasserman of the Cook Political Report. Now, in the past, much has been made of the Iowa straw poll, but this year, it doesn't seem like most of the campaigns are making a big deal out of it, except perhaps for Mitt Romney, who won it.
Well, you're right, and the big guns in the field decided that they weren't going to participate, with the exception of Mitt Romney. Now, I think the Iowa caucus date is probably one of the most important X factors in this race right now, because if Rudy Giuliani and Fred Thompson only have 4 months to get their acts together in the earliest of contests, and then both of them have said they will contest the state, then that's a great disadvantage for them, because Mitt Romney has already built a strong organization and proved that he could rally people to this highly organizational event already, just this past Saturday. Now, they don't have much time, so they need to get going.
Hey, Dave, is the Iowa straw poll, historically, has it been significant? I mean, does it have a good predictor rating?
Well, historically, it has been accurate. We saw in 1995 with Bob Dole, 1999 with George W. Bush, and also the purpose of the event has been not only to sort of identify and establish a front runner in the race, and Republicans are very fond of establishment front runners, as we all know. It's also to sort of thin the herd of candidates. And traditionally, we see a few candidates who don't do as well as they thought they would drop out. And so it, cuts down the number of people who are at debates and makes the choice a little bit more clear for potential voters and caucus goers in these early contests.
But if you have your front runner sitting out of the Iowa straw poll, it's not really going to thin things out, I would imagine.
Well, a lot of Iowans, I think, took it as a sign of disrespect that John McCain and Rudy Giuliani and Fred Thompson didn't compete in last Saturday's event. Iowans and New Hampshire voters are spoiled. they like to see their candidates up close and campaign for many months in advance of their respective primaries and caucuses. And when we see candidates who say, you know, I'll skip this event, but I'll compete in the actual vote, you know, they're going to lose a little bit of support as a result of that. And so I think it could be damaging to their campaign.
We're talking with Dave Wasserman of the Cook Political Report. What about McCain's campaign? Because we read that it's imploding and staff are quitting. Is it still a formidable campaign on the right?
You know, Coy, he is technically a candidate, but for all intents and purposes, his campaign's over. He needs to stick in the race until January 1st of 2008 if he's going to get the matching funds necessary from the federal government to be able to make up for his debt. But his campaign is in the red. It's not in the black. And even though he raised $11 million, which is more than a lot of candidates did in the previous quarter of fundraising, his campaign had built such a huge organization that their costs exceeded what they were taking in. With the departure of so many high-level staff and sort of the rekindling of a campaign, I think it's really too late for him to put forth much of an effort at this point. And even if he ranks second or third in national polls, that is certainly not being matched in the important early states in the surveys there.
Boy, what a difference a year or 18 months makes in the McCain campaign. I mean, you go back just a little bit, and he was the darling of the right, and he had made up with Bush after what happened in the last presidential race and, you know, what they did to him in South Carolina, and everything looked rosy. What do you think happened? What was the was there a defining moment that started the plunge of the McCain campaign?
Sure. I think he really had three problems. First of all, he was trying to transition from sort of the outsider, straight talk express media darling into a more establishment Republican. And that was a transition that was hard to make because the moderates in the party loved him for who he was and really were disappointed when he, you know, went down to Liberty University and gave a speech at commencement next to Jerry Falwell. And the conservatives in the party were really distrustful still of his approach. Second of all, as the main sponsor of McCain-Feingold, he is a critic of money in politics and hates raising money, and that's part of his demise. You have to raise a lot of money in order to be a top-tier candidate, and he didn't raise as much as Rudy and Mitt Romney. And third, his position on immigration is just not sellable in today's Republican market of ideas. You know, if you look at the Republican base, there's no issue that fires them up like immigration does. And John McCain's position, aligning himself with the current administration, did him no favors in the race.
We're talking with Dave Wasserman of the Cook Political Report. Dave, what do you think it means to Mitt Romney to win the Iowa straw poll this past Saturday? Is this big, huge news? I mean, I'm sure he'll get as much out of it as he possibly can. But does this victory have legs for him?
Well, reporters are forced to write the headline that Mitt Romney won this straw poll. He needed to do it. And certainly 31% is an impressive showing, and he should be given credit for an impressive victory. But the real winner, the real buzz in the insider circles, is Mike Huckabee's performance in second place here. Mike Huckabee needed a surprise showing, and he hit this one out of the park. When I was attending events for Mike Huckabee and Mitt Romney and some of the other candidates in central Iowa in the days leading up to it, it was apparent to me that even though Huckabee didn't have much money, he was generating some support among sort of lower-income, church-going Republicans, and the grassroots showed up for him. A lot of the other candidates had AstroTurf who showed up from other states who weren't eligible to vote. But no, Huckabee turned in an outstanding performance, and this should help his campaign raise the money. It needs to be competitive. Sam Brownback, I thought his performance in third can keep him in the race, but it's not as impressive. Obviously, Tommy Thompson was forced from the field. Incidentally, Lamar Alexander also finished in sixth in 1999 and was instantly forced from the field. So, you know, there are some patterns from year to year, and I expect one or two other candidates to be dropped from the field in the coming weeks.
Like?
Well, I think it's hard for Duncan Hunter, and Now, you look at some of the others in the race who are running less than single-issue campaigns. There was a gadfly candidate, John Cox, who got as much time to speak at the podium in Iowa as some others. But, yeah, you know, I think this race could come down to about, you know, five candidates or so who really have a legitimate shot at getting the media attention and money in the run-up to the primaries.
We're talking with Dave Wasserman of the Cook Political Report. He's the House editor and follows national politics. Dave, let me throw out some names, and you can give us some quick updates about what's going on with their campaigns. Rudolph Giuliani, who sat out of the Iowa straw poll.
Sure. Well, Rudy Giuliani weathered the storm of his daughter appearing on Facebook as a Barack Obama supporter. And, you know, he's actually doing quite well in national polls, and I think his slide over the course of the first 6 months of the year that we saw has sort of stabilized. And if he places his emphasis on the states that vote on February 5th, he could do very well.
Fred Thompson?
Fred Thompson's campaign has been beset with allegations that his wife, Jerry, is running the show and turning off a lot of folks who would otherwise be enthusiastic supporters. He has really got to decide and announce when he is going to join the fold, and it's got to be quick.
When you say quick, is there a drop-dead date after which he shouldn't worry about it?
If Fred Thompson's not officially in this race by Labor Day, I'll be shocked. But you know, at this rate, he's certainly making very slow progress at raising money and rolling out lists of supporters. And this has been a disappointment to many Fred heads.
Fred heads, is that what they're called? And he, of course, but he's really good at, he's got imwithfred.com. He's really good at putting up those internet videos.
Sure, but a lot of folks are taking a look at his campaign and realizing that it lacks substance so far. And that's a valid concern when he hasn't really laid out, you know, much of an agenda. And we're only 4 or 5 months away from the first votes being cast here. And the fact that Fred Thompson hasn't made up his mind yet makes him look like a little bit of a procrastinator.
We're talking with Dave Wasserman of the Cook Political Report. Dave, you know, one of the very best things that President Bush, George W. Bush, one of the things he's great at is running a political campaign. And he was so good. And, you know, when he was running for president, both times he was so good at developing relationships with members of the media, which Gore and Kerry were horrible at.
Sure.
But Bush was just, he had this natural talent and does have this natural talent, this amiability with reporters. Doubtful that that still exists in Washington, but certainly has existed in his two runs for office. Do you see anybody on the right running now who has that gift?
Well, I think there are some great campaigners in the field. I think John McCain was a media darling in 99, but certainly not in 2007. But Rudy Giuliani is exceptional in being able to attract attention from the media and to campaign and to deliver a really emotional speech. I think his best setting so far has been the debates. Mitt Romney has run a really methodical campaign, and he is a candidate who has been successful so far in cobbling a coalition of sort of country club Republicans and some Main Street Republicans, along with social conservatives. And the fact that he has been able to raise as much money as he has been able to raise is very impressive. And he's pretty much flawless on the stump. You know, everyone has their gaffes. Romney stated the other day that he compared his son's service to his campaign with other kids' service in Iraq. But, you know, other than that, he's run a really solid effort.
Dave Wasserman with the Cook Political Report. Turning to the left real quick here, have we passed the point at which we won't see a Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton ticket on the left? Is there just too much bad blood now?
My sense is that the pundits tend to over-concern themselves with complementary aspects of a ticket. You know, wouldn't it be great to have Hillary Clinton pick Barack Obama so it could be a woman and an African American, or wouldn't it be great if she picked Mark Warner so it'd be a Northeasterner and a Southerner? I don't think any options are really off the table, but I suspect that the more successful combinations on a general election ticket are simply two people who are politically compatible, such as a Clinton-Gore, and they shared more in common than they differed. And same thing with George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. They were a lot more alike than some of the other choices George W. Bush could have picked.
Hey, Dave, in a few weeks we're going to hear from Senator John Warner. He is likely going to come out and say that he's not going to run for re-election. Who do you see taking his place? Is it Mark Warner, or do you think Mark Warner is going to end up in the governor's mansion again?
I still have my money, if I were a betting man, on Mark Warner entering the race for Senate. I think it's too big a risk for him to wait it out and see if he's going to be picked for the vice presidential nomination on the Democratic side, although his chances are better than most. I don't think he wants to be concerning himself with running for governor again in 2009. I credit a political analyst, Stu Rothenberg, with pointing out that it would be like him retaking an exam after he scored a perfect score. So I think the odds are that he would enter the race, and the Republican side would be, I think, a primary between Tom Davis and probably another conservative. Jim Gilmore is out and about talking about transitioning his laughable presidential effort into a Senate run, and I think it's possible that conservatives in the state could mount a challenge apart from Jim Gilmore to Tom Davis.
Yeah, the far right wing conservatives in Virginia aren't crazy about Davis. He's a little too liberal for him.
Well, yeah, but Tom Davis would be their best shot, and you know the political middle would have a pretty tough choice, I think, in Northern Virginia between Tom Davis and Mark Warner. Although I think Mark Warner at this point would start off with a pretty hefty advantage, but by the end of the campaign, Tom Davis's bank account could really even the score a little bit because he's stockpiled so much over the years for this effort.
Talking politics with my friend Dave Wasserman, the House editor at the Cook Political Report. Dave, we got to talk again soon. We didn't even get to the House races, but let's do that next time.
Great. All right. Thanks so much, Coy.
Thanks so much, Dave. You're the best.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.